Welcome to the tax update for March 2014, in which we look at six items, the first being HMRC trumpeting that 93% of self-assessment returns, some 10.03 million returns, were made by the deadline of 31st January 2014. The relevance of this to practicing tax advisors might be that if your client list suggests that you have a lower filing than that, you should maybe look at getting rid of any clients that are dilatory in either giving you the information or in paying their tax, because protecting your reputation might be very important when we look at the last item in this podcast, which is the tax agent view being built by HMRC, with services coming on stream to agents by March 2015. An interesting tax case is that of Mr. Julian Blackwell, who was faced with an additional tax bill imposed by HMRC of £2.662 million because HMRC were denying him the expenditure he paid to remove a restriction on his shareholding in the company, which was his family publishing company, Blackwell Publishing Holdings Limited. Mr. Blackwell had in fact entered into an agreement with a prospective takeover company in 2003, when he undertook not to do certain things in return for a payment of £1 million. Now, with hindsight, that was a very bad deal that he entered into, but he was unaware at the time that there would be any other prospective takeovers. And in 2006, John Wiley & Sons, Inc., an American company, offered to take over BP Holdings for a very much higher figure. And Mr. Blackwell then told Taylor Francis that they had a prospective offer, and Taylor Francis offered to release Mr. Blackwell from the agreement, for which he had been paid £1 million, in return for £25 million. Now, that's a good return over a three-year period. Mr. Blackwell agreed to this, paying £17.5 million himself and claiming to deduct this from the consideration he received on the sale of his shares in BP Holdings. But the revenue took the view that the £17.5 million was a personal obligation. Now, I don't really think much of the revenue's argument, because a share is an intangible asset and it consists of rights and obligations. And in Mr. Blackwell's case, his obligations included the agreement achieved in 2003, and he had to pay £17.5 million to get rid of that. So it's right that he got the deduction, and it's a case that's worth reading. Another interesting case is that of the dispute between Mr. Donovan and Mr. McLaren with HMRC about whether the dividend waivers they made to enable additional dividends to be paid to their respective spouses contained bounty and were there for a settlement. This is an interesting case, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which in themselves contain links to the full decision. Now, HMRC have been challenging the settlement with the settlements legislation for a number of years. Probably the highest profile would be Mr. and Mrs. Jones and Arctic Systems, and HMRC lost that. But in this case, HMRC have won, because the tribunal found as a fact that without the dividend waiver by the two husbands, there was insufficient retained profits within the company to pay the full amount of dividend on the wife's 10% shareholding, and therefore there was an element of bounty and a settlement. So the tax planning that the couples intended failed, and the sums were assessed on the husbands, who by their dividend waiver had hoped to transfer the income to their wives. HMRC have published the employer's bulletin on 19th February, and at 40 pages, this is an interesting read. I've also given a summary of the topics covered in the 40 pages. HMRC have also published the names of 15 more deliberate defaulters, and this adds to the previous published deliberate defaulters, so that the list now runs to 16 pages. I actually disagree with this policy of naming and shaming deliberate defaulters, because I don't think it applies equally. And if you were a deliberate defaulter living in a small residential community, then you would be far more visible, and therefore your business might be more adversely affected by the naming and shaming action. But to conclude, as I mentioned earlier, HMRC have updated their relationship with tax agents, and I recommend that every agent should have a look at this to ascertain what the future will look like and how they can make use of the changes which are intended to be introduced in March 2015 to streamline their own business and make things better. Thanks very much for listening. Can I suggest that you set your diaries for the next podcast and tax update, which will be published on 31st March 2015.